designed to encourage, empower, and educate real estate professionals by sharing best practices from business leaders that are proven winners. I'm your host, Kyle Malnati, and this is Calibrate Real Estate.
Broadcasting from the Mile High City, thank you for tuning in to the Calibrate Real Estate podcast, hosted by yours truly, Kyle Malnati. The mission of our podcast is to encourage, empower, and educate real estate professionals around the world. This discussion is going to be interesting for anyone, whether you are a parent or not. And the commonality with all of our guests is they're all working moms. If you've been listening or tuning in to our podcast on iTunes or YouTube for a long time, you'll know that this is going to be content from a real estate mastermind that we did earlier this year, and it was episode 19. And what we're going to do is you're going to hear introductions by Amanda DeVito Parle. She's a good friend of mine from the state of Colorado, and she was interviewed in episode 40 of our podcast. She interviews several working moms, Tara Moore from Florida, who is in episode 12 of our podcast, Sarah Lyons from Texas, episode 17 of our podcast, Rachel Makzuk from Missouri, episode 14 of our podcast, and finally, last but certainly not least, Ashley Deitch Schaefer from Michigan, who is in episode 16. So all of these working moms are going to teach on several different topics. They're going to teach on running the business that you want to run, living the life you want to live, how gender roles impact our business lives. And it's certainly a family affair as we talk about their husbands, their children, and how they've started and grown their businesses. We're going to learn a lot about time management and financial management. And I'll teach on those topics after you hear from our working mom panel, which was featured again in episode 19. So I'll be back right after this. Enjoy.
Okay, so one request. This is me asking you to opt into this conversation and not to be silently skeptical that this isn't just a mom's panel, although we titled it that. In hindsight, maybe we should call it something else. But what I want you guys to do is learn from outrageously productive peers, right? These gals are selling a ton of real estate in their market. I want to establish strong purpose for you. I want to give you permission to run the business you want to run or the business you dream of. Learning how to be laser focused and refine priorities. How life changes us and how we adapt to new normals. What obligations look like for everyone, and those are different. And of course, suggestions for avoiding burnout. So Tara, I'd like to start with you. Teach for a moment about the power of saying no to all things and all people. You once shared with me that you said no to time suckers and grade A jerko clients, and that you say no to driving all over creation or Central Florida for a deal or a buyer.
Hello.
There it is.
There we are. So I can't sit here and pretend like it was super easy for me to all of a sudden just say no. It took a while to get there. I think a lot of us are very similar. All of us are very similar. We're driver, go-getter personalities, which just automatically leads us into being a yes girl or a yes guy, right? We want to say yes to everybody. But I was burning out at a rapid pace. And I just have some notes here. But and my dad taught me, I'm a second generation realtor. So my dad taught me very early on, just in life and in real estate too, that when you say yes to something, whether you like it or not, you're saying no to something else. So if I'm saying yes to going out with a client that I don't particularly enjoy, I'm saying no to spending more time with my family. I'm saying no to spending time finding clients that I actually really, really want to be around. So two things that I did, first of all, to have the peace of saying, you know what, I don't have to work with every client that comes my way. And not saying that in a cocky, confident way, but realistically, like I don't have to make that choice to work with every single person. So I do a client meeting. I've always done client meetings, but now as I started to be more strategic in who I was going to work with, I used that meeting time not only as a time for them to get to know me and interview me and figure out if I was the right fit. I'm also using that time as I'm scoping you out and figuring out, are you going to be a time suck? You know, do you have unrealistic expectations that even my best tactics and strategies are not going to be able to help you with? And, you know, saying no thanks to those clients. And then the second thing was, again, starting the business, I was driving anywhere for the deal, and that was fine. But as my business grew, I was still functioning that way. I was driving everywhere. I had to take a step back, and I chose referral partners in my local market, anything outside of driving 20 minutes. I stay within that 20-minute radius. Anything outside of that, I strategically met and interviewed partners that I felt were very similar to me, that if I got a call, I could say, you know what, I don't work that area anymore, but I can connect you with somebody that's very similar to me. And that's been an amazing thing that I've done for my business in the last 2 years.
Sarah, you and I have talked at length about, you know, how this business is so 24/7. Doesn't it feel like you're always on with people? And just that we've become this society of urgent, you and I had that conversation too, but how do you avoid pitfalls of people sort of boundary setting, if you will, or people trapping you for your time? Talk to the group a little about how to set boundaries with clients, how you've learned to establish.
Absolutely. So that's always been a learning experience. I mean, I'm sure all of us have had that issue where they ask for something and you're like, I'll have it to you in 5 seconds. Or, hey, I want to go see this house in 20 minutes, and you drop everything. So doing the buyer consultation, I feel like, is extremely valuable, setting that expectation where, look, you're choosing me because I know what I'm doing. I'm a high producer, but I also schedule out. So I need to get at least 3 days' notice. I will covet that time. We schedule that time. That is our time to go and see 10 houses, 5 houses, whatever. If there's a last-minute house that you think is the dream home you need to see, I may not be available. I will get you an agent that will be available. And as soon as I have that conversation, it's freed myself up for the expectation. A lot of times, they don't even want to ask because they know that that's the answer is going to be, I'm going to have to find you someone else. So more than often than not, they're willing to wait.
And don't you feel like when you set those boundaries, and my dad used to say, it's not a very good analogy, but you train your clients like you train a dog, right? And so you know, that the minute they get that one time from you, right, they're gonna know next time if they want something to be on the list, they'd better get it to you the first time.
Absolutely. So using our local market has the multi-listing service portal where clients are able to heart properties, leave notes within the MLS portal. And so I've trained them to where it's not send me 3-4 MLS numbers by text, email, whatever. No, you go in, you heart them in your portal, and that is what I'm showing you.
Yeah.
Same with when it comes to these last-minute appointments, they just have that expectation already set up, so it saves everybody a lot of heartache.
Exactly. Rachel? So I want to start by saying, forgive me for being a little stereotypical here, but you're from a small town.
Yep, very small, 2,000 people.
2,000 people. And do you feel that there is a sharp contrast in gender roles still, that women should be in the house and men should be in the field? And how have you been able to break through that stereotype as a successful businesswoman, or can it be both? And what does that look like for you?
Okay, so like I said, I'm in a town of 2,000 people. We are in a farming community. And yes, there are some of those stereotypical gender roles. With clients, it's very easy to tell that difference if that is a family or a couple that has those roles. And that might be different as a point to who is necessarily making the decisions or in charge of that that decision, and who is your primary contact. So it's different to find out. You really have to pay attention to those clients because they're all different. But with other agents, luckily, our market is mostly women realtors, so it's not too hard, but there are the good old boys. So those guys, really just sweet as pie to them, and they end up turning around or just work your ass off and just say, hey, you know, I'm here, I'm showing up, I am doing what it needs to take, whatever that is to make this deal go through and prove to them that you've got it. And that's all that it needs.
Yeah. Ashley, you and I talked a little bit about the challenges of opening a new brokerage and the challenges of having a new baby at home, both of which are in their infancy. And I want you to sort of teach or share with this group, you know, what does it take to embark on that journey of starting your own brokerage? And what advice would you give to somebody in this room who wants to start their own firm?
First of all, is this one on? I would not recommend doing it in the same week that you have a baby. That is like way not ideal at all. That's just how it worked out. So it was actually this conference last year that I was sitting in this room listening to people up here. And I realized the company that I was with, and that the extraordinary things that the people that you're sitting next to are doing. And I thought, yeah, why am I not doing that? This is ridiculous. I can go into business for myself, and I have all of the resources literally at my table. So it was honestly that moment in Boston that I thought, all right, this is it, I'm doing it. And as a side note, I posted on our Facebook page that I was doing it, and half of this room was like, call me, email me, I got you. So if anyone hasn't realized the potential of what's happening here, it's huge. But I totally jumped in with both feet. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm learning every day. And I really rely on the resources of everyone around me. I give myself a lot of grace. I tell myself, all right, you know what? Today wasn't your day. We're going to try again tomorrow. And just constantly, constantly allowing myself to learn and change and grow and do better next time. Yeah.
Tara opened your own brokerage as well, mm-hmm. and about actually both really very recently. Do you want to pass this back? So how's the struggle been? How's it going?
It's a lot. I mean, just trying to manage keeping up with the, you know, sales volume that I'm doing on a daily basis, being home with the kids. I have a great partner in life. Matt's a rock star dad and business person too. So he has actually managed a lot of the moving parts of opening the brokerage, just logistics, yeah. and dealing with the state and licensing and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'd say just similar to what you said, but I found my partner in life is the best business partner too. So just finding the right partners to be beside you, you know, at that time that you're trying to open everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Talking about being focused and having super high priorities, you and your husband live debt-free. And when I say debt-free, I mean these folks are 32 years old, and they don't have a mortgage. They don't have any consumer debt. They are living and breathing the Dave Ramsey strategies and a completely debt-free lifestyle. Talk about how liberating that has been for you and how it has changed your ability to serve your business.
Mm-hmm. So it's huge. As I was thinking about this topic, this question, I was just doing a little bit of research. I mean, I know these statistics, and you probably know them too, but there was a recent study that showed 85% of Americans are living through debt beyond their means, 85%.
Wow.
So it's huge. And we were too years ago, 6-7 years ago, before we were introduced to the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University program, which if you've never heard or seen that, I highly, obviously, recommend. The struggles you said that we went through. I mean, it wasn't easy. It's not fun to say, I can't go do this thing or that thing. Or I literally have a perfect example where when my real estate business started taking off and we knew we wanted a boat. Like that was, we always wanted a boat. We loved the water. And we had $50,000 from commissions that we had earned set aside. We had at that point paid off student debt, consumer, you know, credit card debt. But we're sitting on this pile of cash, right? And we're going, we know we want to pay off our mortgage. This is only going to make a small dent on that, or we could buy a boat. Like, what are we going to do? We literally, I mean, I'm talking hours. We sat at night looking at each other going, And we finally hit that button to put that $50,000 on the mortgage, and that was the first big crack at making a dent in it, and we have not looked back. Not only have we paid off the house, starting with that little chunk, but that has just allowed us to grow. Couple examples. So as of 2 years ago, we literally have no credit card. You can live without a credit card. I have a debit card. That's it. You do not need a credit card to check into a hotel, to fly on an airplane, as they make you believe. So as far as the freedom piece, you know, our business is cyclical, right? And I mean, we're all top producers. We all hope that we're all going to be top producers forever. But I just have this added reassurance without having debt that if my business were to go down slightly or a lot, that I truly don't have to worry about my home being taken away from me, my kids not being able to go to the school they want to go to. And then the second piece is kind of in line with what I talked about first, is I have the ability to say no to a lot of things, including people that I don't necessarily want to work with, because I don't have to work for the deal. I don't have to work for the commission. And in the same breath, that allows me to be a better advisor for those clients, because I am not in any way focused on the commissions. Money's great, you know, obviously, but that's not my sole focus and my sole priority, so that I can pay an outrageous amount of consumer debt.
Yep. Sarah, we talk about balance. Certainly as mothers, we know there's no such thing as balance. There's a book called The Balance Myth for any working parent out there, and was written by a woman named Teresa Taylor. I read it. She handed it to me. She's a client of mine. She was the COO of Quest Communications, and she handed me the book at a lunch table. She had asked me about buying a piece of land, and I went home and read her book, and it's a story of adversity. But basically, the thrust of the book is be present wherever you're at, that you can have it all. You just can't have it all at the same time, and that you just have to be present in the moment. So if you're here today doing this, be here today doing this. And if I have a soccer game to attend for kids, like, be there in that moment doing that. And don't you find in this business that we're so distracted, it's so easy to pick up our phones and just check out. And that goes for kids, it goes for, you know, sitting at the dinner table with your mom and dad or with a client. It's so easy to check in and out of this business. So we all know balance is a myth, it's a myth for everybody, but that was a great piece of advice for me that changed a lot, which is if I'm in a staff meeting with my staff, like be there, right there in that moment. And, you know, other things can come and go. So, Sarah, we talk about balance, which we know there is no such luxury. However, you absolutely kill real estate, and you do it mostly from home and in your hybrid car, which you get 44 miles to the gallon on. Super hot little thing. Probably accomplish a lot in the car, too, right? And so I want to know, like, what does that look like for you? What does that balance look like for you in your life, and what advice do you have for somebody who's just feeling off kilter today?
So one of the big things is setting the routines of when you're going to check out. So I love the idea of meditating first thing in the morning. I just finished reading Miracle Morning for Real Estate Agents, so trying to stop snoozing, make that time purposeful, make it intentional. But with my children, because I work so much, I live 45 minutes from my office, and so I do a lot of driving. So I make that as productive as possible. I'm doing improvement stuff, listening to podcasts, you know, bettering myself, making calls to past clients. But when it comes to my kids and the time with them, we have coveted, you know, traditional time. So dinner time, my phone is never at the dinner table, so that time is fully for them. With bedtime, we're working on book 5 of Harry Potter, and so they look forward to it every night. So sometimes I don't make it home or I'm gone all day, but they know that's what we're looking forward to. So we have those special times for that. But with the driving, that part is what really stinks. We moved out in the country to get acreage so we could do the whole homesteading stuff, but I did 33,000 miles on my car last year, so it's a lot of driving.
Yeah.
But making it intentional, making it, you know, voice to text and lots of podcasts.
Welcome back. Wasn't that an amazing conversation with some really intelligent ladies? Going back to my childhood and growing up, I'll think of two different things to share with you here. So first off, this will date me a little bit, but I loved listening to and going to concerts of the Dave Matthews Band. And Dave Matthews, during the intermissions between different songs, would always give credit to his lovely ladies, which were his backup singers. And the lovely ladies, Amanda, Tara, Sarah, Rachel, and Ashley, just absolutely gave us a lot of wisdom there. And so hopefully you like that. And then secondly, I think about the Beatles song, Get By With a Little Help from My Friends. And I certainly am getting by with a little help from my friends. Those ladies are very intelligent, and I want to share some things that I learned. As you know, a podcast host often learns along with their audience, and I feel that way. A lot of the reason why I do this podcast is so that I can continue to learn and grow. I'm a big believer of personal growth, and a lot of the conversations I have on a daily basis end up flowing through and weaving into this podcast. I was having a discussion with someone that is very close to me, someone that I work with, someone that's important to me, and a lot of the topics from this discussion, from this panel that we had at our Real Estate Mastermind in our conference earlier this year that we hosted in Denver with these lovely ladies, came back up into my mind, and so I thought I would share and teach on this topic of margin. And when you think of the word margin, Mr. Webster in his dictionary defines the word margin as a spare amount or measure or degree allowed or given for contingencies or special situations. That's a mouthful. And to make it simpler, I like to think of the synonyms for the word margin. The synonyms for the word margin that I enjoy thinking about are room, space, allowance, extra, and surplus. So this topic of work-life balance, whether it be time management or financial management, really comes down to margin in your life. And as you heard several of the people talk about it, Amanda specifically cited a book called The Balance Myth that one of her clients wrote. And I will cite another book that I've really enjoyed reading by a working mom that I've met personally. This working mom's name is Christy Wright. She's the author of a book called The Business Boutique. And in chapter 18 of that book, titled The Balancing Act, Christy teaches on this topic. And so I'm going to fast forward into the chapter under a section heading called What It's Not. And the topic of this book, again, is it's The Business Boutique is all about equipping women to make money doing what they love. And Christy teaches on the balance myth, what it's not, and this is understanding life balance. So here we go. This is Christy speaking and in her writing. She says, I've been speaking on life balance for years, and I can tell you from experience that it's not what many people think it is. First of all, it's not about a picture-perfect life. It's not about creating a life that looks like your sister's, coworkers, neighbors, or friends' lives. It's not about things being easy and clear-cut. Creating your own version of life balance doesn't mean that you won't have hard days or bad days, or that you won't sometimes get tired, discouraged, and burned out. There's no version of life balance that promises that, because all of those things are just part of life. Life balance is messy because life is messy. Life balance is also not about an even split between work and home. And Christy puts that in quotes, work and home. And when you work from home, you know this better than anyone. Balance makes us think of a scale that needs to be evenly weighed on both sides, but that's not realistic. A man came up to me after one of my speaking events and said, are you saying that I need to spend 50% of my time at home and 50% of my time at work? No, that's not realistic or even desirable for many people. It's not about an even 50-50 split. It's about being 100% present wherever you are. We'll talk about what this means and how to accomplish it. Finally, life balance is not about equality. People think that life balance must mean that you spend the exact same amount of time on every area of your life every day. That doesn't sound unrealistic. It doesn't sound fun either. There'll be seasons in your life when things are more heavily weighed in one area than in others, and that's okay. Life balance isn't about doing everything in your life for an equal amount of time. It's about doing the right things at the right time. The goal is to create your own version of life balance. It's about doing more of what you love and less of what you don't, while creating a life you're proud of in the process. So that again was from Christy Wright's book, Business Boutique. And Business Boutique is a great book. It's a women's guide for making money doing what she loves. And as I think of the females in my life, and I think of the important people in my life that are female, I know that this is a struggle. It's also a struggle for guys. It's a struggle for dads as we think about the issues that occur when we have kids and we're at work and we're going through something difficult and we're wanting to be home. And it's difficult. So even though these topics may be geared in the lens of working moms talking to you, it's definitely affected me as well. I can remember several times, especially after Courtney and I had the birth of our twins. So we went from 0 to 3 kids in just 16 months. And that was in 2011. I can remember being at work, and I can remember pulling up on YouTube Sesame Street videos of different messages like don't give up and you know, you can do it, you're worth it, those types of things, because I felt like when I was at work, I was missing out at home and I was missing my kids and I felt like I wasn't able to spend time with them. And that was really difficult for me. So it affects dads just as much as it affects moms. But this conversation that we had with our working moms panel was really, really interesting. And I want to get back to the topic of life balance, the balance myth that Amanda had talked about. And again, that topic all comes down to margin. We defined what margin is, and there's several different thought leaders that have talked about time management, prioritization. Probably the most famous is Stephen Covey in his book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. He talks about one of the topics was put first things first. And you might know that he defines a quadrant of quadrant 1, 2, 3, and 4. Again, many teachers have taught on this. Stephen Covey, it's his content, but it's all about putting the most important things in your schedule first, those priorities. And there's plenty of preachers who've been credited with this saying, but you can tell what's important to someone by taking a look at what's in their calendar and what is in their bank account. And what they mean by that is what you schedule in your calendar, as well as what you spend your money on, shows what's important to you. And so this topic, again, from our working moms, really reminded me of time management and financial management. Time management, I believe, is all about living from your values. You say yes to the things that are important to you. And every time you say yes to something that's important to you, you're inherently saying no to something else. Tara Moore reminded us of that in the discussion. And the thing that I think about as well is when you're running a family, it's the same thing as running a business. You have a finite amount of time. You have a finite amount of money. And as you think about financial management, budgeting is very important. And Tara Moore continued to talk about Dave Ramsey's program and living a debt-free lifestyle. And so for those of you who don't know Dave Ramsey, I've actually had the pleasure of meeting Dave several times in person. I actually was able to go to an event at his house, at his personal residence, which was an amazing experience for me. And Dave Ramsey is a mentor of mine, has been a wonderful thought leader in the space of financial education with books like Financial Peace, a class that is out of that book called Financial Peace University, which Tara Moore mentioned, and then The Total Money Makeover, and a book that I'm very fond of, Entree Leadership, which is for business leaders. Here are Dave Ramsey's 7 baby steps, if you've never heard them before. Baby step number 1 is to save $1,000 in an emergency fund. So that's the first step, is, you know, stop paying extra on any debts and put $1,000 away. Baby step 2 is to pay off all of your debt using the debt snowball method. Now, Dave Ramsey has a different way of looking at this than a lot of financial advisors, and I agree with Dave. Dave agrees that 80% of financial success is really about behavior, not head knowledge or intellect, which he says is the 20% of financial success. So baby step 2, he recommends that you list all of your debts, smallest to largest, by amount, not by interest rate and not by, you know, which one you want to pay off first. But he says, take your debts, list them from smallest to largest, and start paying only on the smallest debt with extra money. Everything else needs to just be paid with its minimum payment. And then you go on to baby step 3, which is save 3 to 6 months of expenses for emergency. So that baby step 1 starter emergency fund of $1,000 is now going to grow to 3 to 6 months of your monthly expenses. And baby step 4 is invest 15% of your household income into Roth IRAs and pre-tax retirement funds. Baby step number 5, save for your children's college fund. Baby step number 6, pay off your home early. And baby step number 7 is build wealth and give. And Dave believes that you should always be giving, saving, and spending. And we actually have some piggy banks for our kids, for our 3 kids. And on those, you've got 3 different slots. It's give, save, and spend. When they earn a commission, just like dad earns commissions for doing work that matters, that people are appreciative of, they have to divvy their money up between give, save, and spend. And so just a little bit of financial education. Tara had talked about the success of Financial Peace University. I just got finished with employee and broker reviews within my own company. And there are 7 of us at Calibrate Real Estate. And it's really rewarding for me to hear from several different people out of those 7 that one of the greatest things that has happened to them, where we've impacted and added value to the lives of the team that we have at Calibrate Real Estate, was by paying for and enrolling each of these folks in Financial Peace University, which is a 9-week class taught by Dave Ramsey about financial education. I live a debt-free lifestyle. Really, the only debt that I have at this point is my personal residence, and we're working on paying off that mortgage on a 15-year fixed loan. And there's a lot of people that will object to this, but I will tell you what, Tara is right that when you're a commissioned salesperson, the last thing you want to do is make sure that is make your clients feel like you have your own objectives at heart and not theirs. And one of the easiest ways to do that is if you're living in this lifestyle where you've got a lot of debt piled up and you need a commission to close, you're pushing. And what ends up happening is a lot of us think of that classic term of commission breath. And no one likes a salesperson with commission breath. It stinks. And when you push someone into something that may not be right for them, it ends up injuring everybody in the process. And so what I have found, and Tara has as well, is that if you can live a financially debt-free lifestyle, that gives you the ability to be a true advocate and advisor for your clients. It also gives you the ability to say no when you think something's out of bounds in your business. And it gives you that freedom to choose. It gives you mental clarity that enables you to be as successful as you need to be for the clients that you want to work with and you really feel like you can benefit. So this topic of margin that the working moms reminded me of, I think is really important as we look into next year. This episode is being recorded towards the tail end of the year. And I think as everybody approaches January, you might be thinking about how can I succeed in different areas of my life? And I would encourage you to think about those things, your financial margin, as well as your time margin. And in many cases, as people become more and more successful, it actually becomes more important for them to protect their time than to protect their money. And the reason I say that is that a lot of us will employ other people to do things that we simply don't have the time for anymore, whether that's delegating to a staff member or hiring someone to help clean your house or mow your lawn. And we've talked about those in several different episodes. I'm just appreciative that all of you are tuning into the podcast. Hopefully you found that this message was enlightening. Obviously, we want to make sure that it educates and encourages you and empowers you to do better. So without the support of our podcast audience, we wouldn't be able to do this. And Kayla Davis and I know that all of you are out there listening, and we do appreciate the 17 folks who've given us reviews. We would love a 5-star review on iTunes specifically and a subscription on either iTunes or YouTube. As you know, we're simulcast on both of those platforms. And for all of my guests on this past episode, Amanda DeVito-Parl from Colorado, Tara Moore from Florida, Sarah Lyons from Texas, Rachel Maczuk from Missouri, and Ashley Deitch Schaefer from Michigan. I am Kyle Malnati, and as I love to say, we will see you around the neighborhood. Thanks, everybody. Have a great rest of your year. Put some goals down and absolutely do your best in the year to come. God bless.